Blog Talk Radio.
Who's that lady?
Anna!
Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Rand McCoy! Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Rand McCoy!
Hurry, come and listen, it's a Rand McCoy show.
Hurry, come and listen, it's a Rand McCoy show.
Hurry, come and listen.
The Rand McCoy.
Hurry, come and listen. It's the Rand McCoy show.
Hurry, come and listen. It's the Rand McCoy show.
Hurry, ooh, come and listen. It's the Rand McCoy show.
Anna.
The Rand McCoy.
Hello, welcome to the show. This is Anna, the Real McCoy. I'm excited about what we're talking about today. We've been talking this entire month on branding. So you're listening to Woman Act Now Radio with your host, Anna, the Real McCoy. Today's topic, we're going to talk about several different things concerning your brand, being the CEO of Me Incorporated, that you become a and stand out amongst the crowd. Not only that, that you begin to act upon your talents and your opportunities, and you know what? You become the best you that you can be. Today, I will be talking about several things in the area of branding, particularly what about your brand, you reputation, your brand, you identity. Also, we're going to talk about your brand, you confidence, talking about how to develop confidence. What do we do or how can we develop that confidence? And I'm going to be sharing some things with you that I certainly believe will help you to build your brand, build your confidence in yourself and in your opportunities of being the best brand that you can be. So, again, you're listening to Anna, the Real McCoy on Woman Act Now Radio. And so, first of all, we're going to start with your brand new reputation. I had an opportunity to meet with Richard Parsons, who is the chairman of Time Warner Incorporated. Dick is a friend of ours, and we've known him for several years, and we had an opportunity to talk, and I was asking him about personal branding. One of the things that he shared with me on personal branding, he says, your branding is really, it does have a lot to do with your reputation. And I said to myself, that sounds pretty interesting. So I wanted him to talk about it a little bit further. And one of the things that he said is more people will know you than you think will know you based on your reputation. So how can we as women begin to be women who can, number one, act in our now, be women of our word, present the best brand that we can about ourselves in the marketplace? And I think that as I share with you some of this information on branding, and what I'm also sharing today is in the book, Woman Act Now, Learn, Launch, and Live Your Dreams. That's going to be released in January of 2009, but you're getting a sneak preview of this great information. So the way that I approach this branding perspective of branding ourselves and being the best brand that we can be is developing that self-confidence is one. Your reputation is another. Your identity, and we can go on, and we'll continue to cover that throughout this month. But let me go back to that reputation. Your reputation is not necessarily what you have done or what you do. It is based on perhaps what others have experienced with you, and then they begin to share it with other people. So how can we put forth our best reputation or help to build the best perception of who we are? So we want to talk about that also a little bit today. I want to also talk about developing your confidence, and I'm going to share a couple of things with you on developing inner confidence and what you can begin to do in order to do that, and how certain things, and I'm going to read a couple of stories to you from the book Woman Act Now, and how your confidence can really be challenged or can be impacted based on the things that occur in your life. When we talk about your identity, Who are you? That's the question we're going to answer, that at least I'm going to put out there for you today, is who are you when we're talking about your personal brand? So going back to your reputation, how do you build a great reputation? How do you become a person that others will know? One of the things that I teach about is connect working. And the key to connect working, not networking, is being able to come to the top of the mind when individuals are thinking about certain things concerning something that you do. And how we do that is we spend time building a great reputation so that others will know who we are, and they will know who we are based on the actions we take consistently, over a repeated time. So when we talk about your reputation, what you want to do is you want to think about that the first thing that you have to do concerning your reputation is you have to establish it. How do you establish that reputation? You establish it by making the right choices as it relates to your personal well-being, the decisions, how you behave, your behavior. All of those are things that will certainly begin to establish that reputation. You want to be consistent all the time, not some of the time. You want to focus on really being able to achieve and do the things that you said that you were going to do. You want to become a word keeper, a person of your word who people can depend on and rely on. What's the next thing that you want to do as it relates to your reputation? The next thing is that you want to maintain your reputation. And what that means is that, again, you want to deliver on your promises. What we talked about on our 15 Minutes to Destiny calls, and these are calls that are open to everyone. They happen every Monday at 12 noon Central Standard Time, and you can go to womanactnow.com to find that call-in number. But these particular calls are 15 minutes that will charge you up as a woman to get you moving on Monday morning and being able to take advantage of the opportunities that the week will bring you. So what we talked about this past Monday was the makeup of a brand. So I want to go back to that and just share with you as we are talking about your reputation, that it's an enduring thing, that it's vital, that it's essential for you to have an understanding that you begin to establish it, you maintain it, and thirdly, you protect your reputation. That means you stand up against those criticisms anything that would conflict who you know you are to be. So you want to take your stand and hold it in high regard, and that way you begin to protect your reputation. But let's go back to those four things that actually make up a brand. The first thing is what we called the brand promise. When you're talking about your reputation, how does this relate to the brand promise, to your ability to deliver what you promise to the world? For instance, if your brand promise is every time you see Anna, she is going to deliver excellence to the world, that's my brand promise. So then I should be able to deliver excellence in all that I do on a protracted basis over a protracted period of time, not just when I feel like being excellent, not when it's just convenient for me. So the first thing we have is our brand promise. The next thing is we have the brand value. What value will you bring to the world? How valuable are you? Do you value who you are? And remember, this is also, in order to protect your reputation, you've got to establish your reputation. And you establish your reputation through your ability to make up your brand, and your brand is made up of these four components. One is the brand promise. What are you going to promise to deliver to the world? The next one is the brand value. What value do you bring as a brand? What would it profit someone to know Anna McCoy? That's your question. What would it profit someone to know you? That is your brand value. What is so valuable about you? The next thing you want to answer is what are your brand attributes? And what we mean by that is what are your talents and your gifts, and what is it about you that makes you unique and distinct and different? So you want to answer that question or those questions. What is it about you that make you unique, make you different, make you stand out among the crowd? How are you using your talents and gifts to be able to impact those individuals around you in your workplace, in your family, in your community? And the fourth thing is your brand benefit. Again, what's the benefit of knowing who you are, of being in your presence, of having an interaction with you? Why would that be beneficial to anyone? What do you bring to the table? What are the benefits for others? Not for you, when you're beginning to establish your brand. So when we think about your reputation and establishing, maintaining, and protecting your reputation, you want to begin to think about what promise are you going to deliver to the world? What's your brand value? How valuable are you? What are your attributes, your talents, your gifts? What are these things that you bring to the world? What are the assets that you have that are converted for an exchange that will ultimately bring benefits to those who are in your presence? So, again, that's talking about your reputation. And when you can do these and make up this brand and do it over a protracted period of time, then you can begin to protect your reputation. Now I want to go back to talking about confidence, dealing with your brand confidence, and how is your confidence, what does that mean? I think when I think about confidence, confidence is really developed by a series of events that occur in our lives that give us the opportunity to respond or react. Again, let me share with you. Confidence is developed by a series of events that occur in our lives that give us the opportunity to respond or react. Now, responding allows us to process information more objectively, even when it appears that the outcome will be neither good nor favorable. Now, the reason why I say that when we're talking about developing our confidence and it's developed over a series of events, and when we learn to respond to these events rather than react. Many people have, they lack confidence because they react to situations rather than responding to those situations. When you start responding to situations over time, that you take a step back, you begin to look at what your situation is, then you can actually begin to analyze or evaluate and navigate that decision much better than just reacting to it. And oftentimes when we do react, we don't give ourselves time to really make the best possible choice that we can make. So the more that you think about when you are faced with opportunities or events in your life, where you feel that your confidence is challenged, what you can begin to do is just stop and think about what you're dealing with before you just start to react to it so that you can begin to build that confidence over time. Now, how do you develop self-confidence? How do you take control of how you feel about yourself? Because when we think of confidence, confidence is really a mental construct. It's not something that we can touch, taste, or feel. It's something that we believe, something we believe about ourselves, based, again, on a series of events that have occurred in our lives, and we actually, what we remember about confidence is how we responded to a previous event or opportunity that looks like our new event. So I want to encourage you that confidence is something on the inside, but it's definitely something that we can begin to take control of and feel better about who we are. And we feel better when we feel like we at least have a sense of control. So how do you project yourself publicly in a positive way? In order to change yourself, you must change your beliefs and feelings about yourself. So the first thing that I want to say when we're talking about our brand, how do you project confidence? How do you feel confident? You know, the word enthusiastic means in theos, God within us. And in order to be enthusiastic, you have to act enthusiastic. So in order to be confident, you have to act confident. So you have to begin to take a posture of confidence. You have to take courage as it relates to your confidence. And then you'll begin to see that your confidence will come. You'll change your feelings and your beliefs about yourself, and ultimately you'll start to see that your confidence also starts to increase. So now with that, keep this in mind. I strongly believe that confidence comes and goes, because it's something that we are faced with based on that event or opportunity that maybe either threatens us or maybe cause fear. And it's something that we have to rise up inside of us and say, I'm pretty confident about this. And it comes through a repeated action that gives us a cycle of success in certain particular areas. So when we think about, let's think about when I say confidence is something that can come and go. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is we often see well-trained athletes in various sports. And guess what? We're right in the middle of our Summer Olympics, and we're seeing athletes who were expected to do well not do so well, athletes that were not expected to win are winning, and then we have Michael Phelps who's just winning. And in the swimming area. So what makes a great athlete have, you know, have confidence? Well, when you think about it, an athlete, they could have a winning streak, but when he or she loses a few games or fails to make the same record-breaking times, commentators try to pinpoint the causes to blame. This may include a drop in self-confidence or a slackening of performance and talent. The key to developing your self-confidence is really learning to manage it. So when we go back and we think about this athletic example, what I want you to think about is you have to learn to manage your confidence, because if we truly base confidence solely on our ability to succeed and to win in a situation, we're really setting ourselves up for failure. And so we must begin to manage confidence. And how do you begin to manage the confidence? Well, what normally happens is what you want to think about is, let's say, for instance, you manage confidence based on your events or opportunities or experiences that you're faced with. In order to do that, if you lack confidence when speaking before a group of people, you will always lack confidence until you do what? You can take a class, you can hire a speaking coach, or you can get before others, and then you will become much more comfortable in public speaking. So again, how do you manage your confidence? What you do is you prepare yourself in various situations to improve your opportunity when the event occurs. So if you're afraid of speaking in front of people, it's highly unlikely that if you never practice, if you don't prepare yourself, and you go in front of a group of people, you're going to lack the confidence required to master that particular situation. So again, how do we manage our confidence? So it's not like, it's, you know, I'm just confident in every area of my life. That's not the case. I manage confidence based on a certain situation or an event that will occur in my life. Now I'm going to share with you some things that to manage your confidence. If you want to manage your confidence, then learn to stop doing the things that destroy your confidence and learn instead to do more of the things that increase your confidence. You have to learn to let go of your presuppositions. And what that means, that presuppositions are things that you presuppose that really have no factual basis. It's not like, for instance, if you are afraid to do something, or fear of failure is a great example, is a presupposition, is that we feel failure, so we become immobilized and we never do anything, and we're basing our fear of failure on something that really doesn't even exist. So when you're learning to manage your confidence, you have to let go of those presuppositions and embrace activities in your life that will increase your confidence. Here's some common presuppositions that defeat our ability to develop self-confidence. One is, I don't have anything to offer. That's a presupposition that says, you know what, before you even begin something, you're already discounting yourself and saying that you don't have talents, abilities, or anything that you can offer a particular situation, so therefore you do nothing. And I'm saying to you today, breathe. Just take a breath in and exhale. Guess what? If you can do this, you still have something to offer to the world. So again, I want to just remind you that you're listening to Anna, the Real McCoy, on Woman Act Now Radio, and we're talking about the brand Call You. You can visit our website at womanactnow.com and find out more about how we can help you become your very best brand by being a part of such an incredible organization of women who are mentoring and helping women become their best. Now, the next presupposition is, if only I were more like someone else, then I would do more, be more, and have more. How many times have you ever heard this statement? I mean, come on, we have to give up in order to manage. Remember, this is managing confidence. Most things you hear about self-confidence is people are teaching you how to build that confidence, how to develop confidence, but I am of the mindset that we have to manage our confidence in every opportunity or event in our lives that we're faced with. We manage it on a per event basis. I mean, you can have an overall feeling of being a confident person, but oftentimes your confidence is not impacted until you're faced with a challenge. I had an opportunity to attend a empowering seminar called Vertical Leap this weekend with Boss the Movement, my mentors, Al and Hattie Hollinsworth. There was a leadership exercise that was presented to the group in which we all had to participate. Coach Hollinsworth actually divided the audience into three different groups and gave us an assignment to go and develop a team, a CEO and an executive team, and also present this particular idea to the entire audience. And we only had 5 minutes to do it. And so the idea was, as we began to do this, we kind of start getting our teams together and choosing who the leaders were, who the leaders weren't. There were some people who didn't try for leadership, didn't say anything, just kind of followed the lead. I ended up being the leader of my team with three executive leaders on that team. We were able to manage and do the exercise. And our group got up, we did what we were supposed to do, and we did exceptionally well. We were out of the box. We were all over the room. We had people flipping and dancing and screaming and drama and everything else going on. And then the next group who came up, it was very interesting because they started off really strong. And then all of a sudden they were trying to get the other teams to get up and participate in their exercise. I stood up and I looked at my team and said, "Don't you move." Because we were not going to help them win this particular event. And so as a result, when no one was responding to their pulling our arms, they were trying to get us to join with them, when we did not respond, all of a sudden, the entire team's confidence began to wane. They didn't even finish the exercise. All of a sudden, their noise just went from noise to zero, and everybody sat down. So what happened to this team? Well, we'd say in a situation like that, they lost their confidence. Why? Because you lose confidence when you're faced with a challenge to overcome in the middle of an opportunity. And in their case, they could not figure out a way to overcome. So another thing is that if only I were more like someone else, then I would do more, be more, have more. So we have to learn to give up on comparing yourself to others. Stop binding yourself with a chain of if-only statements. Become an I-can-do person. And so then you'll begin to maximize your resources in using your best abilities in each situation. The next presupposition is, what will other people say? When we're so concerned about what others say, then it really impacts our confidence. Hopefully you're beginning to see this. So, and if you can manage your internal voice of being concerned about what other people are going to say about you, whether you're in your workplace, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're trying to finish a project, then you will become much more able to overcome and achieve some of the things that you desire to achieve in your life. In addition to that, another presupposition is, I can have it all. Well, let me tell you something. I'm here to tell you that you can't have it all. Sometimes having it all is way too much for any one person to desire. What are you after? You know, are you after the universe, matter, time, or space? What is it? You have to choose what's really best for you and set your priorities. Follow the direction of your dominant gift, and you will find your treasure. So instead of trying to have everything, what you want to start to do is begin to focus your attention, become very, very focused on a few things. Instead of pursuing success, pursue effectiveness, and success will follow. The next one is just who I am. This is me. Now, this is one that's really...
You know you need to get control of your finances, but like many people, you probably don't know where to start. That's why Anna McCoy and her husband Richmond have created a plan of action they call Building Generational Wealth. This easy-to-follow workbook contains step-by-step instructions that will enable you to understand and act to secure your financial future. You'll learn how to determine your net worth, reduce debt, manage your money, and even plan for retirement. Seize your financial future today. To order, simply visit AnnaMcCoy.com.
All right, welcome back to the show. You're listening to Anna, the Real McCoy, on Woman Act Now Radio. We're talking about the brand Call You all this month. You can visit us at WomanActNow.com to find out more about how we can help you be the best brand that you can be and help you to begin to achieve your dreams and your visions. We also want to encourage you to check out our 15 Minutes to Destiny call on Mondays at noon. Every Monday at noon, we're charging you up, we're pushing you forward, we're empowering you with information. This coming Monday, we do have a guest, Hodge Fleming, who wrote the book Brand You, who will be talking about and giving us some pointers on how we can be our best brand. Every month, Woman Act Now takes on a topic, and this month is on the power of personal branding. We've been talking about your reputation in this show. We've talked about building up your confidence or managing those presuppositions that we have about ourselves, such as, I don't have anything to offer. You have everything to offer. Maximize your own talents and your gifts. If only I were more like someone else is another one. These are the things that erode our confidence. When we begin to think about what will others say about me, this particular one really is one that keeps us from moving forward because we're so afraid of what others are going to say rather than believing that we have the ability and the talent to move forward in our gifts and our opportunities. And then we also have that presupposition of I can have it all. And I'm saying, no, you cannot have it all. You must begin to focus your attention, be more focused on what you are called to do, focus your opportunities, become more effective, and then you will become more effective in building your confidence. And then the last one, just before the break, it's just who I am, this is me. Now, this particular one, if you hold on to this, and this is where we start to talk about your identity and who you think you are, and with this kind of attitude, it really limits you and keeps you from being able to be the best you that you can be. What you're saying is that life is okay just the way it is and don't rock my boat, and you're not open to new opportunities. In fact, you will miss some opportunities because of this attitude, it's just who I am. Now I want to talk about, I'm going to give you 12 ways that you can begin to increase your confidence. This is, this show again is about the brand called You and really being the CEO of Me Incorporated and becoming the best that you can be in the marketplace, in your family, in your community. When we talk about the how to increase your confidence, you have to remember that life is really all about change. Okay, and so what I want to do is help you to move from where you think you are to becoming better at who you are. So moving from a kind of this is me attitude to this is who I can become and that I'm consistently evolving. So the first thing in increasing your self-confidence is the first thing I want to encourage you to do is develop a prayer life. And developing a prayer life, a daily prayer life that really works for you, that you can quiet your spirit, and you can take moments of silence and meditate on God's word and allow your inner voice to begin to teach you and encourage you and love you for who you are. This is step one in learning how to increase your self-confidence. Ultimately, you know, we do move from self-confidence to a godly confidence in ourselves when you spend this time in prayer and you start hearing that voice of the Lord confirming who you are and who you were created to be. The second one is proclaiming your uniqueness. You are rare. You're one of a kind. Refuse to walk in another's shoes. Your own are sufficient to take you where you are to go. You can emulate others, wise teachers, role models, mentors, but do not imitate them. Be yourself. You are distinctly different from everyone else. So I want you to begin to love your unique self. As you begin to do that about yourself, you're really building. You remember I talked about those four things that make up a brand. One is your brand promise. What are you promising to deliver to the world? The second one is the brand value. What value do you bring? As you begin to proclaim your uniqueness, you are increasing your value every single day. As you develop that prayer life and allow your inner voice and the voice of God to begin to speak to you, you are increasing your value. Number three is affirm your game. Affirm your game. On the smaller stages of life, it is still important to plan, practice, prepare, and proceed. You know, I was in a BEST conference with Bishop T.D. Jakes and Dr. Cornell West, and Dr. Cornell West said, affirm your game when you are on the bottom. When you get to the top, you will have the skills, the talents, and the experience to stay there. So are you understanding when we're talking about increasing your self-confidence? You know, ladies, we got to do some work. It just does not happen by happenstance. It does not happen by accident. It happens by preparation, by planning, by practicing, and then proceeding on those things. Most of us just want to jump out and do it. Most great athletes, business people, it doesn't matter. Man, we've tried this thing so many times. We failed a lot, and we get up again, and we keep doing it. So I want to encourage you to start to affirm your game. You affirm your game on the smaller stages of life so that when you get to the big stage, you will have developed your talents, your skills, and you will have the experience to stay there. Number four is celebrate every victory, however small. It doesn't matter. You know, confidence is built through recognizing that when you accomplish something, that you should celebrate, you should reward yourself. Because if your confidence has been damaged in a certain area, go back to it. Set a small goal, achieve it, set another one immediately afterward, and achieve it again. What you're doing, you're creating cycles of success. For example, let's say you procrastinate. The next time you set a goal and hear yourself saying that you are going to do it, stop what you are doing and do it that very moment. Or if you hear yourself saying, I'm going to do this tomorrow, I'm going to get to it later, stop what you're doing and just do it that very moment. Celebrate your victories, acknowledge yourself with words of affirmation, and praise and reward yourself. And you know what? You keep doing this over and over, and you know what? Procrastination will start to lose its power in your life, and you'll become a person who can get things done. Number five is fail forward. Failure is feedback. It is not your end. Failure provides information from which you can learn. What you should do when you think that you failed at something, failure is simply not reaching an intended goal. So if you set out to do something and you didn't accomplish it, you could look at it as failure. But I'm saying I would like you to look at it as failure is feedback that it's not your end. All it is information that tells you to get back up, dust yourself off, and resume your forward motion. But before you move forward, determine what you need to do differently so that you will get the results you want the next time. So I want you to think about this. Think about a time that you tripped over a rug or other object in your path that you didn't see. What happened? You fell forward, right? After your fall, you probably got up, straightened your dishevelled clothes, and looked behind you trying to figure out what in the world got in your way so that the next time you navigate that same path, you will avoid the obstacle altogether and keep yourself from falling again. This is a physical example that really illustrates how we should mentally and psychologically deal with past failures in order to move on to future successes. So when you fall down, you brush, you look around, and you see, you say, wait a minute, I'm not going to do that again. You'll take a completely different route. And that's what failure is. It's simply feedback. So when you think about that, and you've set a goal, but you didn't achieve it, something got in your way, you look at all of the choices and the resources, the people, whoever is involved in that, and you say, "What? Wait a minute, what didn't I do?" And the next time, do it differently, and that's what makes the difference between failure and success. So start learning how to fail forward. Number six is give. Give more to others than is required of you. Go beyond, above and beyond what you expect to receive. Be liberal in issuing compliments, encouraging words, and positive feedback to others. Others will take note and give back to you in return. So remember, we're talking about the brand you, your confidence, your reputation. You're listening to Anna, The Real McCoy. You can visit our website at womanactnow.com. You can join Woman Act Now and become a member, and let us help you become your very best personal brand. And we're talking about 12 ways that you can begin to increase your confidence. Number seven is keep the commitments you make to yourself. You know, one of the greatest or many of our greatest disappointments in our lives are often self-imposed. And what I mean by that is we set commitments with ourselves and we say we're going to do this or we'll do that, but we simply don't. We don't do it. For some reason, commitments concerning our dreams and our visions that we make to ourselves or to others, we don't do. So we've got to learn to keep as many commitments that we can make to ourselves. And so you have to begin to practice keeping your commitments to yourself. Number eight is evaluate your relationships. You need to start assessing those relationships you have around you, whether they're family members, friends, colleagues, and begin to identify which ones are positive and which ones, if any, are not. Insulate yourself from negative people, period, and that will help to build your confidence rather than eroding your confidence. Number nine is wait patiently for understanding. What does that mean? What it means is don't be quick to jump to conclusions. Practice the fifth habit discussed in Stephen Covey's book, Seven Habits to Highly Effective People. And what that is that habit is seek first to understand and then to be understood. So, and as a woman that's developing her confidence, oftentimes we could be a person that we talk too much. We jump out there ahead of everyone where we really don't understand the full gamut of what we're dealing with. When you start taking a step back and starting to seek to understand others rather than being understood, you'll get more information, and that information or the more information you have, the better able you can manage your confidence and make the right choices. So number 10 is love unconditionally. Practice expressing the love in your heart through your eyes. Start to unwrinkle your brow, ladies. Start to be more kind in your reflection and the way you speak. You speak, if you're going to love, let love shine in your eyes. Let love be demonstrated in your actions through acts of kindness and acts of respect. So, again, when you give love unconditionally, how is it that you cannot get it back? Love covers a multitude of sin. Love covers the worst of situations. So if you're understanding me, that these are ways in which you can begin to increase your confidence. Because remember I said confidence is a mental construct. It's something that's on the inside. It's in your mind. But I'm giving you ways that if you start to change your thinking, start moving from the way your old thinking or this is me and some of those presuppositions, that thinking about what other people are saying, to start living this life of gathering, of living these principles of giving and keeping your commitments to yourself and loving unconditionally and failing forward, you cannot help but begin to increase your confidence. Number 11, and this is one that I love, is mastering your emotions. Now, what do I mean by that? Learn to keep your emotions and mood swings in control. Before you speak, chew on the words in your mouth. Taste them in anticipation of the effect that they will produce on those who hear you. So what I want you to do is start to master your emotions. Let me give you an example. Several years ago, I was in corporate sales, and you know, sales is really tough, and it's always an area that really challenges your confidence, you know, because, you know, you can just walk from one victory, and we always say it in sales, you're as good as your last sale. And so in this particular case, I remember being in this client's office, and they would always send me, because they thought I was so confident, you know, and they would send me to these troubled clients, people who didn't pay their bills, they were mad with the company, and they would send me as the bill collector. And this particular one, this gentleman, I went to see him, and he just started going crazy. I mean, he was talking to me like I was somebody's donkey. I mean, he was going, and I stood up in there in his office, and I looked at the man in the eye, and I was a young woman, maybe about 26, 27. You could see I was fairly young, and he was a very mature businessman and the president of this particular company, and he got to talking crazy. So I stood up, and the whole time I was thinking, you know what, I must be master of my emotions. And I, as I was saying that in my mind, my confidence was building. It was increasing enough for me to tell him, you know what? The way you're speaking to me is unacceptable, and I cannot help you today. And I turned around and walked out of the office, and I said, as a matter of fact, if you don't like what I'm sharing with you, you can contact my boss, my manager, and you can talk directly with them, because I will not stay here and allow you to speak to me in the manner in which you were speaking. But at the same time, ladies, I want you to know my love, mine was going, I will be master of my emotions. Now, why was that important? Because instead of reacting impulsively to a situation that obviously could have really sparked some anger in me and caused me to get really, really stressed, by speaking those words to myself, I just began to calm down, and I was able to think more carefully, and my confidence began to increase, and I just told them exactly what I thought. So I want you to learn the art of becoming a master of your emotion and learning how to hear criticism and being able to use it and deal with it at that particular time when you're a master of your emotions. And remember, you can never solve a problem if you're engaged with someone who is highly excited or angered or emotional. You can never solve a problem being on the same level. You'll have to calm yourself down, move to a level where you can get out of your emotions and just deal with the facts or the issues of the situation. Now, number 12 is being proactive. Now, this will build your confidence greater than just about anything that you try to do. One of the many reasons why we lack confidence is primarily because oftentimes we're reactive, we're not prepared, and so therefore we find ourselves, you know, we're trying to make up for our loss of time or our loss of information So we're not able to really be our very best in that particular moment. So in order to boost your confidence significantly, you need to become very proactive in taking initiative, not only in your workplace, but in your relationships, in your personal life. Where you now, you think through, we have this saying in where we teach in Woman Act Now. You can visit our website at womanactnow.com. You're listening to Anna, the Real McCoy, on Woman Act Now Radio. And in Woman Act Now, we teach our members to do what we call woman think. When you're faced with choices and responsibilities, we want you to just think through that process. You give yourself 60 seconds to think of three or four things that you can begin to do, that you can take action, that you can begin to execute on in order to achieve that thing. And what you'll find is that you will build your confidence, not only because you have ideas, but you've also taken time to plan. You know, if you take 1 minute to plan, you'll save 10 minutes in execution. And most of us, again, just react and jump into situations. And what we're talking about today is the brand call you this entire month. I'm going to be interviewing Fran Harris later this month. She was a Olympian as well as a WNBA basketball star, and she's going to be talking about branding, and that's going to be on the 28th. Of this month, two Thursdays from now, and she'll have a lot to tell. And she is just, I mean, an incredibly gifted and talented motivator, and just will provide us with so much information about the brand. And also, she's done a great job in building her own personal brand. So we've been talking about your brand new reputation, that your reputation is essential, how to manage your confidence. If you'd like to call into the program, you can do so by giving us a call at 718-664-6402, or you can send us a question on our chat and communicate with us there as well. But I want to welcome you all to the show, and thank you so much for listening, Guest 877, and one of our regular listeners, Mindy. We see that you've joined us, and we want to thank you for listening to Woman Act Now Radio. So I want you to know that above anything else, our whole intent with Woman Act Now Radio is to help you become the very best that you can be in your personal brand. And so this entire month we're talking about branding and the process of your personal brand. So I'd also like to talk to you a little bit about a brand new plan. When you're trying to be your very best, you remember I said if you take 1 minute of planning, and it will save you 10 minutes in execution. You know, planning is twofold. One is that you plan for your now, and the next is that you plan for your future now. And I tell people all the time, a part of being your very best is having a plan of action. Let me go back to Woman Think. This is a principle that we teach. And what we teach is that when you're faced with any particular choice, what you want to do is take a sheet of paper or just write out at least 5 or 6 points or steps that you can begin to execute on whatever you're being faced with, but you only allow yourself 60 seconds to do so. And what you've done is you've taken that 1 minute that will eventually save you 10 minutes in execution. And what I mean by that, when we did the exercise, for those of you who have joined us a little bit later, I talked about this exercise I did this weekend in a seminar. We had 5 minutes to come together and choose a team of leaders. We chose that team, and guess what? We didn't have a plan. We did not have a plan. And I was chosen as the CEO to represent this group, and I had 3 executive leaders. But the whole time, I'm thinking, then the coach who was doing the seminar, my mentor, Al Hollinsworth, called us up to the front, and he asked us, how did you choose your leaders? And I'm thinking to myself, well, how did you become leader, Anna? And I said, well, I was nominated as leader. So he asked one of the other leaders, how did you become leader? Well, I nominated myself. So they had all these different individuals, but each one of us had a plan on how we were going to be chosen as leadership, but we did not have a plan when it came to what our entire group was going to do. So I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, he's got us up here. I hope he gives us another minute, listen carefully, another minute to at least set a plan of action for this particular group, because if we don't have a plan of action, there's no way that we can win. And so when we all finished and he got all three of the groups up and we all told how we actually came into leadership, and then he gave us 1 minute, 60 seconds, to go back and reconvene and come up with an action plan, an execution plan. So I was ready. I was ready for him because I know what to do when it comes to, if you give me 1 minute, you can believe that I'm going to come up with some kind of plan. So I went back and I had one lady who was really very assertive, very aggressive, and immediately when she got up, she started giving instructions and I could see, and immediately I just said, no, you know, just be quiet. Nobody talks, only I am going to speak, and I'm going to tell you exactly what we're going to do. Because we did, within that 5 minutes, people were throwing out ideas. So instead of me trying to give ideas, I was collecting ideas the first time. So when we went back into our little one-minute session, I had some ideas and some ability to put together an execution plan. And that's what I did. I said, you do this, 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 and this. And that was just based on what the group had already thrown out. So then our minute was called. We came back to get in our places, and then we were required to execute on our plan. Well, we went right into it. We executed. We executed very well, and we won. Now, why? Because 1 minute of planning can save you 10 minutes in execution. What we found out later is there were two other groups, and the challenge for them was, they did not do well. They spent all of their time trying to figure out who the leader was going to be. They didn't spend any time trying to figure out what their execution plan was going to be. So when they got up to do what they were called to do, they couldn't execute. So at the end of the day, in order for us to be excellent at who we are and develop our brand, we have to be people that will plan, that will plan, that will plan. And so I want to encourage you to begin to take that 60 seconds, everything that you're doing, if you're faced and you work in a particular environment, when you're asked or you're given you're given an assignment, first thing I want you to do is do that woman think. Woman think is thinking about it 60 seconds, but writing 6 executable steps that you can do for whatever you've been asked to do. And we're talking about building your brand. How do you begin to stand out and become distinct among your fellow workers or within your community? What you begin to do is learn how to become a great thinker, because that's going to add to your brand. You're going to become a great planner so that you can save time when it comes to execution. And many people are not as good as they can be because of poor execution. So I want to encourage you, when we're talking about planning, many of you have probably heard about creating smarter goals, what we call the acronym SMART, and I've created what we call smarter goals. So for the next 7 minutes, 6 minutes, I'm going to share with you how to create those goals. Remember, you got to take those first 60 seconds, and you know why you do that? Because those 60 seconds represent your consciousness before you're overwhelmed with the wave of your past. Like on the beach, a big wave coming in. You could see it coming, but you know it's coming, and you kind of start to prepare yourself. But instead of anticipating your ideas and thoughts that are going to come from your past experiences, in that first 60 seconds, you want to think about, what can I do to begin to execute on this as quickly as possible? So when you begin to write down those executable steps, you want to have goals that are specific. A specific goal, for instance, let's take a specific goal is our specific goal is to increase our revenue. Then the next thing, the goal must be measurable. So how do I create a measurable goal when I'm talking about increasing our sales revenue? You have to determine how much time, money, effort, or resources will be required to meet your goal. For example, if your general goal is to increase sales, your measurable goal is to make 20 sales calls a day. So we want to have very specific goals. Then you have to create something that's measurable. How do you know, how can you begin to test that when you achieve that goal that you've actually done it? What's the measure that's going to test whether or not you've done it? Also, we have to have, we must be held accountable for meeting our goals. Otherwise, our goals will disappear into oblivion. So when you set a goal, you must have accountability. Share your goals with a manager, a spouse, or a team member, giving them permission to ask you about it, ask you how you're coming along, or how soon can you expect results. So when you're setting your goals, they must be a goal that you can be held accountable on. Goals must be realistic. You know, it's time, if you want to be really effective in your life and really create a brand that is a planner, that's effective, that's an executor, then what you want to do is you want to deal with reality. That means you want to deal even with your bosses and setting realistic goals. One of the things that I've shared with many people is when you're working with someone, you need to be very clear about what their expectations are, especially if you're in a situation where you're an assistant to someone and they're constantly giving you information. How are you going to be able to execute on it? How are you going to be able to set goals that are realistic? One of the things that you have to do is you have to go back and clarify and make sure that what they're asking you to do is really what they want you to do. For instance, if you're going to set a realistic goal about making 20 sales calls a month, then what you want to make sure is that do you have enough prospects in order to make those 20 sales calls a day? Do you have enough prospects on your list before you get started? If you don't, then guess what? The goal is no longer realistic. That goal becomes the pie in the sky. Because if you only have 5 contacts, how can you possibly meet a goal where you're required to make 20 sales calls a day? So you want to go back and start to evaluate your resources. The next one are your goals must be time-based. I tell our ladies all the time, you cannot set a goal without a time because then you're really not committed to the goal. So learn how to, if you're going to set a goal, set a time, put it on your execution calendar. And I need to talk a little bit more about that at some point. I don't know if I'll get to do it on the radio, but creating that execution calendar, and that will increase your brand new plan. You will become an excellent executor if you learn how to become an excellent planner and being able to carry out what you plan to do. You cannot do anything or achieve a goal without an assigned time, so you want to make sure that your goal is time-based. Also, your goal should be pursued with enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is essential to do things that you may not like to do. For instance, as a sales manager, I can't recall one person who was absolutely excited about making sales calls. To be enthusiastic, you have to act as if you are enthusiastic. You have to pump up the energy. And what happened in this situation, we're talking about creating smarter goals. You're listening to Anna the Real McCoy on Woman Act Now Radio, and we're talking about the brand call you on the brand you plan. In this particular case, you create enthusiasm. Your goals, you meet them with enthusiasm. And what I used to do to encourage the sales people to be more enthusiastic is I would take all of the chairs out of the bullpen or out of their cubicles, and they would have to stand during the time that they would have to make these 20 sales calls. The results, guess what? We made more appointments. Number two, we had more enthusiasm. And the last thing is goals should be rewarding. Learn how to celebrate your success. Think about what you would do to celebrate making those calls. And what you want to think about, would you hang a bell in your cubicle? Would you hang a mirror? Would you shake your bell? What will you do when you actually complete your task? Could you give yourself a gold star in your planner every time you meet your goals? What could you do? Perhaps you can buy something you really like, a Coke and a smile or whatever it may be, but learn how to start to reward yourself when you are achieving the goals that you plan to do. So, again, you've been listening to Anna, the Real McCoy. We've been talking about the brand call you. We've dealt with your brand new reputation, identity, your brand new plan, and your brand new confidence. So I want to encourage each one of you to be smarter at planning so that you can save time in execution. You can build your confidence. Also, I want to encourage you to be a person that will do the things required to help to increase your confidence. I want you to think about all of those presuppositions and begin to move past them and becoming the best you that you can be. You proclaim your uniqueness because you are indeed very rare. There is no one like you. You begin to follow your dominant gifts. Your dominant gifts, your treasure will follow. So again, thank you for listening to Woman Act Now Radio with Anna McCoy, your host.